I'll finish this some other time. Star Trek.
Yeah, so we're going to be watching Operation Annihilate.
Oh,
yeah. It's the final one of the season.
Right, which Saint has seen very recently.
Yeah, I watched it.
We haven't. We didn't get it to it. Yeah.
Right, so,
I'll watch it again. Yeah, I don't care.
Great. Because, yeah.
I've got to sit down and update the spreadsheet this weekend. I don't have, like, at all anything for season two ready yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so season two, I am thinking, I don't think we will record until December. I would like to get, I don't even know if I will get everything out that I'm sitting on before December. So, but I want to focus on writing for now.
Yeah, you want to
so just
get
so
your
you
own
guys
novel
know.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah,
honestly,
I've got at least four more to edit.
We're currently, we just brought in a new guy and I'm being moved to like full-time hours, like being transitioned into that. So like,
oh, is that
I'm
a,
down
congratulations.
To yeah, it is. Cause holy shit, good. Do I need not 20 hours a week?
Oh yeah. Shit. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. We all got bills to pay.
Yeah.
Well, when I got the job, like I didn't actually see the job posting. I asked in the store if they were hiring. So I didn't know what they were hiring for fully.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were only hiring part-time for like 20, 24 hours a week. And I'm like, that is not enough. And so I asked what the requirements were so I could go look for a second job. And then the guy quit. So I got handed all of his hours. You know
right,
what I mean? So
yep.
Now I've been approved for full-time and they've just started giving me my full-time hours, but it is going to be a transition. It's going to be an adjustment because I'm not used to standing on my feet for 40 hours a week.
Man, they don't even give you like a bench or a stool or something.
We've got like a couple of chairs in the back and that's fine if I'm on the computer, but like I'm not supposed to be sitting around doing nothing. If I'm sitting in the chairs in the back, I've got to be doing something at the chairs in the back. So it's mostly try to stand up and walk around a lot during the day. Got something fucked with one of my heels. Yeah, a lot of that. And I've got something fucked with one of my heels, so it bugs me to stand too long. So I've got to build that tolerance back up, you know?
Yeesh.
It is what it is. I'm not upset by it.
Yeah, I mean, I just figure, you see it everywhere, but you figure that if someone is just, like, at the counter dealing with customers, like, one after the other, like, that's customer,
nope.
Take the order, like, that they would give you a stool or something you could just sit on while you were there, but...
We have an anti-fatigue mat.
Whoa.
American businesses do not do that.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an anti-fatigue mat, but that's all I've got. Like a barista would get at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And since we work alone, the way I had to put it to like the new guy that got hired is like, no, your lunch and your breaks, you take it like under restaurant style mentality because we're alone. So you take it where you can take it. A customer comes in, you help with the customer, then you go take the rest of it. It's like my lunch will frequently be a 2-hour ordeal because like I'll start it and then we have customers coming in and I might get like, you know, a consistent, you know, 5 minutes. Last shift I even had it came up. Where it was like, it took me an hour to have my lunch, and the first 15 minutes of my lunch break was at the front counter dealing with a customer, because as soon as I went on lunch, within 30 seconds, somebody was in the store. They left, I took a bite of my food, and had to get up and deal with another customer.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it is what it is. You do what you can, but it is what it is.
I would like to hear about the anti-fatigue mat. This is a new concept to me. I was a barista.
I've heard of this too.
Yeah, they're just a very thick mat, so you have something to stand on behind the front cash. That's not the concrete floor.
Oh, kind of fluffy.
It's just
kind of soft.
It's just it's a squishy mat.
Does it prevent fatigue? Do you find?
I find it helps because it's something softer, so my feet don't hurt as much. But it's also the size of my front counter. Like it's literally just like enough for me to stand on it. If I shift at all, and I'm a person who doesn't stand still, I move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if I shift at all, I'm off of it. Yeah. Anyway, so actual stuff for the recording. Would you like me to start on details or do you want to go over other stuff first?
Do you have any memories of this? Do you know what we're getting into?
I feel like I should, but I don't.
It's like gummy space amoeba boogers.
Yeah, it's some bug in people that they have to stop.
Yeah, it gets in people. Yeah, if you don't have any specific memory of related to this, then yeah, I would love to hear the details.
So it's Operation Annihilate has been mentioned. It's directed by Herschel Doherty. Doherty or Dougherty? I've heard that name spelled, said it a couple of ways
Yeah,
now.
both ways, yeah.
Yeah, written by Stephen W. Karabatsos. I don't think we've had either of these guys
No,
before.
I don't think so.
They're both brand new. The original air date was April 13th of 1967, with a 7.5 out of 10 from IMDb, and the last episode of season one of the original series.
All right, and I'm not sure if I was recording when I discussed that it may be a moment before season two, but although it probably won't be the way that I'm releasing them. But yeah, this is also the final episode of season one of The Least Study Room, a podcast about pot and Star Trek.
So much pot.
Pot Trek.
Yeah, so we can begin unless either of you would like to add anything. Hello, Michelle's ghost. Michelle's ghost was haunting my Discord for most of October. It was actually quite
I'm
spooky.
actually going to step away in about 5 minutes. So you can go ahead and hit play, but I'll be
In and
probably a
out.
little quiet for a while. Yeah, I'll be in and out before the end of the episode ends anyway.
All right, have a productive time. Hello, and welcome once again to The Least Ready Room, a podcast about pod and Star Trek, with me, Dave, Chris, Saint, Weebs, and a variety of other guest stars. Today we're going to talk to Chris and Saint about the final episode of season one, which is Operation Annihilate. So yeah, like was mentioned in that intro, Saint did watch this twice. So I have some recordings of just him, but in order for it not to be too redundant, I'm going to play going through the episode with Saint and Chris right after we watched it. You know, now, not now, but in the intro. That intro was recorded right before we watched this episode. You probably could have ascertained that. But anyway, yeah, afterwards, I'm still going to go through the audio file from just me and Saint. And if there are funny bits or bits where we are talking about certain things that did not get covered with Chris, I'll include them at the end. And then we have the question of the week, and then I will say goodbye and talk a little bit about what our plans are, because this is, in fact, the end of season one of The Least Ready Room. I feel like there might be a couple bonus episodes before we really get into season two. We're going to start watching season two in 2025. Remember when I said we might start in the intro, I said we might start doing it in December, but you know what? Whatever. I'm caught up. This is it. We did season one. I'm putting this out and I've edited it and we've done it. All right, there's season one. We watched season one of TOS and we'll watch some more things. Like I said, there's a few things we were thinking about that we might have some commentary on, some bonus things for this season, and then yeah, in January at some point we'll get into season two and yeah, Star Trek, whatever, we'll talk about it. And yeah, so let's go. Here's Operation Annihilate. Thanks for being So that is Operation Annihilate.
Yeah, I remember more now that I've seen it than what I remembered before,
You
as
think
always.
Picard would have annihilated an entire race of alien life forms?
I think if he had to, I don't think he would have been as like I would have. I don't think it would have been as much of a like, yeah, let's do that now situation. But
Yeah, right now,
I think he would.
today, annihilate them.
I think it'd be something that would, you know, chew him up a little bit. But I do think he'd do it.
If it came down to it,
Yeah.
this life form has destroyed several planets, with civilizations on them, not just colonies.
Well, and on top of that, this is a case of it is that greater good thing, all right? Like, Picard will do the greater good thing when he's got to, because like it's one of
Exactly.
these two races is all going to die. Which one is more like, which one is the one that we want to save, you know?
Hi, Saint.
Hi. Are you talking about the ethics of wiping out
Yeah.
a race of malignant
Would
green
Picard do
parasites?
it? Would Picard do it? And therefore, the ethics have to come into it because Picard is a highly ethical person.
You might think about it for a minute, but on the other hand, this is a species. Organism, something
One
that thrives.
organism? Question mark.
Yeah, question mark, that thrives on torturing
Pain.
people.
Yeah, I was saying, like, I think he'd do it. I think he might not be as gung ho for it as Kirk tends to get on stuff, but for
Yeah.
sure, I think Picard would do it, you know?
Yeah. He might ponder the ethics for a hot minute. He'd be like, "Is this wrong?"
Yeah.
Well, they're not leaving me much of a choice.
He'd need to go read a
Yeah,
book
that's.
and talk to Riker, and he'd have to go
Yeah.
talk to Guinan.
Yeah.
And probably Data.
They're not the hive mind that comes up and is like, "Pretty please join our hive mind. There are benefits and good feelings if you subsume your mind within the body of our
Yeah.
hive mind or
That's only
whatever."
with the tech that's only for technologically superior races, and you know it.
They were all of the races we met this season were technologically, not really, but a great deal of them were so advanced you can't understand our technological superiority.
We're just flying around in the galaxy and some off by
Some
ourselves
weird
doing some
orb.
technologically superior shit, or
Doing Q
maybe,
shit.
yeah, maybe I've got a whole fucking planet that I'm flying around like a chariot.
Run a theme park for Qs.
Yeah.
In this
Energy shit.
episode, I got a bunch of weird clones, weird goo clones coming out of a factory. We're dressing them up as knights and princesses. It's Q shit, you wouldn't understand. So, like, four whole planets have been destroyed, and all in the cold open, we watch a ship from Denevan fly into the sun. The Enterprise is hailing him and saying, "Yo, don't fly into that sun. It will probably kill you." They get a transmission
And this
of.
Denevan is like, "That is preferable to what is happening right
Yeah,
now."
right. And yeah, they get a message from him that says, "Ah, finally it is gone," or something like that. "I'm free of the terrible thing." And I think McCoy turns around and goes, "Yo, Jim, isn't your brother Sam on Denevan?" And that's the cold open. Then the credits roll, and we barely have even heard of Sam Kirk before we find him dead.
Face down on the ground.
Gone. Oh, you know what? I didn't even look this time. Was it Kirk with with a mustache?
Wig on.
Was it Shatner with a
I don't
mustache on?
even know. I don't. That's a good question.
I really think it was Shatner with a mustache on, but it's amazing. Yeah, I mentioned it while you were gone that I don't think you and I even really talked about it because we move away from it so fast. Kirk has lost a brother. He's got it. He doesn't. This is not a man who has time to grieve.
No.
Kirk's got space amoebas to fight. So there it is. That's paused. It's about, there's
That
like
is.
three frames of it, but let's see. Do we have the IMDb for this specific episode?
Yeah, I'm looking at Memory Alpha, and Memory Alpha is all in character bullshit. And I'm like, I don't care. Just tell me who is playing him. It says when I look at the Sam Kirk, it says like played by William Shatner and Dan Giannotti.
Okay, I think that probably is yeah, referring to TOS and then
Yeah, the
Stranger
picture of
Worlds.
him. Yeah, I've got the same picture of him on the Memory Alpha. All right, come on, IMDb.
I'm already on the That
IMDb for
looks
that
like
episode. I'm just trying to find
Shatner.
it. Give me a sec.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it is Shatter.
It looks
According
like
to
Shatner.
IMDb, it says Bill Shatner, Captain James T. Kirk slash Sam Kirk. So it's just Shatner.
Shatner with
Shatner
mustache.
with a
mustache. Great. I'm so glad that's what they did. I'm so glad that's what it is. And that we spent that much time figuring that out. Oh, okay. Yeah, so they go down there and yeah, he's dead. So that's it. And then we never mention it at all. I mean, we talk about the fact that Kirk's nephew is on the ship slowly dying, but we don't really get a specific resolution to that. We assume
His
they cure him.
sister-in-law is there for a hot minute too, and she's like, she
Screw.
has
Oh
enough
my
time
God, so dramatic. Screaming.
to scream a bunch and then
The
die from
things
pain.
came. The things came. They're forcing us to build ships. Don't let them escape. Yeah, she's screaming. It's
Yeah.
awesome. Something else that I
Yeah.
like. Go ahead.
A scene like that is part of what also makes me think that Picard probably wouldn't think about the ethics of annihilating them.
After watching this woman screaming and
Yeah.
red, yeah.
Yeah. He probably wouldn't worry about it too much at that point. He'd be like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing.
It's so weird that they're the whole thing about them being individual cells in perhaps one gigantic creature that's floating around. That makes me feel like it might be like a higher, more evolved kind of thing. Like, you know, when they didn't want to blow up the crystalline entity. Like, I feel like this might be such a unique life form, maybe not from the galaxy, that from a science perspective.
Yeah. Except it lives and
Except,
thrives on
yeah,
torture, so
causes extreme torture.
it's gotta go.
Okay,
Madness and death, yeah. Sorry, you
madness
gotta
and death, world after world falling to madness and death.
go. Yeah. You know what it makes me think of? Seen this concept before. Oh yeah, Star Control
Oh,
2.
yeah.
There's a race of beings in Star Control 2 called the Oars, and they talk very strangely and like a universal translator doesn't
Oh,
work,
yeah,
right?
they're the happy campers.
Yeah, it turns out they're all extra-dimensional beings, and they're not really multiple extra-dimensional beings. They're all like one extra-dimensional being, and each individual Oars is just like an appendage or a finger poking its way in from a different plane of reality.
That sounds almost like the Ood from Doctor Who.
The Ood.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, I know this kind of thing has shown up in Lovecraft before too. I can't think of like a specific kind of thing. Maybe was it like the Hounds of Tyndalos? No, those are the time travel dudes.
The Hounds of
But like,
Tyndalos come out of corners.
yeah, but also something like that. Also a little bit like the Hounds, that are like
They follow you through space and time.
They're like extruding themselves from higher dimensions. So it's like if you're imagining like a 2D universe, like a flat plane, and like you come from above it and you put your fingers on it, and the creatures that exist in that 2D world don't see everything that's above them, but they see your fingers intersecting the plane of their world. So like that's what these kind of things make me think of, because it's like their consciousness, or their sort of hive mind, whatever, exists in some other kind of dimension.
Those guys have voice acting. There's voice acting in that game.
Which game?
Star Control 2?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, should get some of their lines. They say really good things.
Yes, of course. Difficulty. Problems are difficult. Let's be special together. Spicy games are always fun.
Yeah, really, and really, and all of those things are not really explored in this episode. They're kind of like,
No.
it's like a giant floating brain. Okay, that's weird. Let's destroy it.
It's like a
I'm really
space.
hanging on the fact that they
It's
just
a space.
decide just the
It's a
annihilation.
space. It's a space vampire
Yeah.
brain
Blo space
torturer.
cloud of space vampire blobs.
Yeah.
There is actually there's something in the Call of Cthulhu, the TTRPG from the 90s. There's a lot of stuff in there from other writers and stuff that was just made up for the game, but there's a thing called the Star Vampire, and it's basically this. It's a glob. It's a glob that latches onto you and gets your nervous system from space.
A word.
I love when the away team stuns the crowd of people that's running at them.
Yeah.
I love a good AoE stunning of a bunch of hive-minded dudes. These dudes are going, get away from the fucking planet. You don't want to get infected with this, and we don't want them getting on your ship.
But they're using the agonizers on us, so we have no
Yeah.
choice.
So we just have to swing clubs at you. The agon yeah, everyone's getting agonizered. Yeah, that scream, that super dramatic screaming lady, boy. Yeah, this is a people scream in pain episode again, especially Spock.
Yeah.
Because the next thing that happens is he goes down and gets infected. They discover the noise. I like the noise. I like the noises, the flapping and farting noises the blob's making, wheezing and squeaking.
It's such a cheesy, weird noise.
They are like flapping and farting and flying around like frisbees. Like these are pretty fun blobs the way they act. I don't know. Did we mention that Michelle Barrett is here? Nurse Chapel is here in this episode.
She's good in this episode.
Yeah.
Calling everyone dumbasses without actually saying it, but just like with her eyes.
Oh, fully, yeah.
Like, we blinded Spock. She's like, you couldn't wait like literally 3 more minutes for this computer results, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Very funny scene. It's a very funny sequence
of events. Flying off half cocked,
Yeah. And, but she, and she really, she makes this face like, you blinded Spock?
She says it all with a face. She's just like, what?
Why'd you do that?
Why?
I was out of the room for 5 minutes.
It really does feel like a mother with her weariness over her toddlers who are just fuckwits.
Like, I'm so tired of this. Is there any wine?
I just went to take a shower, guys. What? Why? I love it. I love it. No, she's great. She's always great, though. Chapel has been one of the best side characters forever.
I love it when she shows up. So the blobs sting with a jellyfish sting that injects tentacles. They use the term tentacles into you.
Tendrils that like go all through your body.
Yeah, wrap themselves around your nervous system. Very insidious. We should annihilate these guys. That's terrible. They insinuate their tendrils into your nervous system. Ugh. And Spock's got it.
And then zap you to make you do stuff.
Yeah, and then once you're... Yeah, and if they have some sort of hive mind and whatever they want you to do, if you're not doing it, you get zapped with pain. Do you suppose you have to, like, figure it out? You have to... going through your life just getting zapped with pain until you learn not to do it.
Nope.
All they can say is nope. Stop, boy.
I feel like there's a little bit more detail to it because it's, you know, they're like, that woman's like, they want us to build ships. They've done this before. Something, I don't know.
They zap you if you're doing anything other than building ships.
Yeah, or grabbing more people for the hive mind, I guess.
Right. So they have. Just for fun, they have a couple big fights with Spock while he's trying to sneak off the ship because they think, you know, that he is infected. They don't know what he's up to. And also McCoy is being really overprotective. But it turns out that he just is like, well, I'm already infected, so why don't I go down and grab one? And like, really, that was what I just said was like a whole 15 minutes of the middle of the episode is catch Spock. He's trying to escape. And then he's like, no, I'm just going to go grab one because I'm already infected.
Yeah.
This is a funny. Like, no one's communicating.
Everyone's like, oh, actually, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
That's exactly what Kirk says. So he grabs one and they set about trying to figure out what kills it. And, you know, they burn it. They zap it with radiation. They're like, you know, we got to get Spock to survive. We need the million people on the colony to survive. And they have a whole conversation where it takes them way too long to figure out that it's bright light that's going to kill it.
Which confused me because they were like, we tried heat, we tried radiation. And I was like,
neither of those caused light.
Yeah, like light is also a kind of radiation.
Not in the 60s.
Heat is technically a kind of light. It's all the radiation. That's cool. That's cool. That's just like.
So this is the funny scene where they blind Spock, and 2 minutes later, Nurse Chapel comes in and says, "Oh, it was just invisible ultraviolet dog whistle light. Why did you blind Spock?" Really, a very funny scene. Really good job, everyone. Yeah, no one's communicating. It's hysterical. And I didn't mention, but they've set up a ring of satellites around the planet now that they've figured out. Well, I guess, this was sort of going on while they were figuring out. Because at first they were like, we're going to use. Well, at first they were like, we might have to kill a million people. And then they were like, well, we'll use this ring of satellites to blind a million people. And then thanks to Nurse Chapel, they're like, oh. And I guess the same, because they even said that the satellites were going to burn some kind of material to produce this blinding light. But now they've rigged the satellites so they produce dog whistle light. And everyone is saved.
Hooray.
But Spock is blind.
But Spock is blind, except the reveal at the end. Nope, he's not blind. Vulcans, being superior to humans in every conceivable way,
even their eyelids.
Even have cool inner eyelids to prevent them from being blinded by their bright Vulcan sun.
Which is so second nature to him, he forgot to mention it.
I totally forgot about the involuntary second inner eyelid. Totally forgot.
A lot of really funny stuff while Spock is wrestling. Spock is like grunting this whole episode because he's struggling with the inner pain. Great performance.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy is doing like a whole bunch of like twitching and
neck vein contortions. He's all like tightened up.
And tensing his neck so you can feel the tendons and stuff. He's like, he's doing a convincing job of showing somebody who is like
struggling with pain.
Trying to go about his daily work without, you know, having to just give in to this agonizing pain that he's in.
He says that pain is entirely in the mind. Do we think that's true?
Kind of.
It is your brain telling you that your body's being damaged, right?
Yeah, kind of. One thing that I know that is true that is like an advancement or a change, at least in a lot of medical practice lately, is pain management, pain tolerance, where, you know, it's kind of a recognized thing now. A person can be in pain even if there's nothing physically wrong with them.
Oh, sure. Yep. Yep.
You know, right. That, but it doesn't make it like any less real for that person. You know, so it's a very relative, subjective thing. It is all in the mind, but, you know, we have to live in our minds, so it's pretty real.
Happens to Spock a lot. Or, I mean, I guess maybe just this one. It happens to Spock a lot around blobs.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, there's it's true. Spock and blobs. Spock and blobs. Like, it's all about pain. Spock. Spock, blobs equals pain. I was gonna say though, there's stuff about how, like, you know, pain is all in the mind, and, you know, I was mentioning Dune.
Oh yeah, Paul,
you know, you got the Gom Jabbar, but there's all the, you know, in the real world, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff like people do to prove that, you know, their mind over body power, like walking on
hot coals. Yeah, is that what we're talking about?
Sleeping on beds of nails.
It's Legos. You know? Now they walk on beds of Legos.
The bed of nails isn't overcoming pain. That's body weight distribution over multiple pricks so that doesn't actually cut you or hurt you.
No, that's true, but it's still not comfortable, and it's and it's
it can't
it's
feel things.
And if you don't do it right, then it will hurt you.
There
definitely is an element of like mastering your own mind, mastering your body to be able to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it's it's a quote unquote trick because you're distributing your body weight, so it's not pushing, the needles aren't pushing into you.
But people do it for a reason.
Yeah, but it's all exactly. But it's also like. That's the trick, but it's also like, but that's also intended to be the trick. I don't know. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And then like walking on hot coals, it's the same thing. It's like it doesn't hurt if you do it right, because if you move quickly, and the temperature of the coals is correct, your skin doesn't have time to burn.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but there's definitely a psychological element there of not. If I can give a personal example, my wife decided to give birth to our son without using an epidural.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she decided, unless like I'm like in a state where it's like
in danger,
she's like, there's really no reason for it. And she's like, and I think I can, you know, be mind over body. And, you know, generally it you get slightly better medical outcomes from not having an epidural
Sure.
and,
Yeah.
in certain ways and not having to worry about getting a C-section. So
And some of that comes from the lack, like the I have words. I'm
I
sorry.
got you.
Some of that's going to be as well. The adrenaline and endorphins that are released during childbirth help
Yeah,
to mask some of the
absolutely.
pain too, because like the pain of
Absolutely.
childbirth is comparable to that of a heart attack, right?
Yeah,
So, but
absolutely.
your
But it
body
was,
is fighting that, so.
yeah, but it was definitely super painful.
Oh, I'm not pretending it's not. I have not had children, and I do not intend to for reasons, and pain is one of them. But that is something to bear in mind. Like there is, your body does have a natural response to try and help offset that. So it's not as bad as it
Ooh.
could be
Can't
with
believe
us,
people do
Like
that.
at least there's that. You know what I mean? That's not to diminish the pain of childbirth. As a full disclosure, again, or whatever the word is, like I'm not in any way trying to diminish this. This is an awful, awful experience that lots of women do, and kudos to the ones who can put up with it. Seriously. GG.
And I mean, it worked out for us. It worked out for our.
Good.
Blurring in right
Awesome.
there.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
It worked out for Beep.
It
Yeah.
worked out for her. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary. God. Oh my God, I would never do that on purpose.
What?
Get pregnant.
No. No. No.
That's God. Dude, I mean, that would have very negative effects on my psychological health.
When I was
Being
younger, and I,
pregnant.
when you're young and everyone's asking, like, "Ooh, are you gonna have kids and all that?"
Oh,
Like, I
sure.
got that a lot because being a woman, you're clearly my goal is to get married and have babies, right?
You're supposed to.
I'd always say, like, I
Your
don't know if I'm
civic
gonna birth
duty
my own. I'm down. I was always down to adopt. I've
to
never
raise
been a fan
kids.
of the idea of actually baby birthing. Birthing
Sure.
itself is
Yeah,
awful,
then
and
that's what
kids
I'm
aren't
talking.
really.
Yeah, God.
And kids aren't even people until
Congratulations
they're
to
like
everyone.
5 or 6 years old anyways. You know what I mean? Like they're just objects until then, functionally, that you have to pay attention
Oh
to and make sure they
no.
don't die.
That's not true.
I have never been able to connect with anyone under the age of 5. They are not people. You can't have conversations with them. They are
No,
too busy learning.
you can't have conversations with them, but they are people. But you definitely, you got to interact with them on a subverbal level, basically. That's
Yeah,
basically
and
what it amounts to.
I'm not one of those folks. So to me, they aren't fully realized folks until they're actually able to like express themselves in a way that's at least useful instead of just screaming. You know what I mean? Like there's a certain level of maturity before they're people in my head, with no offense to kids.
Well, I mean, I won't deny that it's like, I don't know. You got to take care of them for a long time, a really long time. My son is 9. I'm still going to be taking care of him for a long time.
At least another 10 years.
Yeah. Probably more. My parents were taking care of me in my 20s in various
Yeah,
ways.
in various ways, yeah.
They weren't like feeding me dinner every night or anything like that, or doing my laundry, but anyway.
The laundry machine at my parents' house, it like I have probably done laundry less than 40 times, not at my parents' house in my entire life.
Man,
So I'm good
always
that
head back to your parents' house to do laundry, huh?
that's always.
Well, he's at his parents' house all the time with soap too, right? So.
Well, I mean, but I mean, if I wasn't, working over there, I in this
You'd
state,
still go back for
living it,
laundry?
any time I have lived in this state, I do my laundry at my parents' house. Oh, I gotta take this.
You are not oars. We are oars. Oars are happy people energy from the outside. Inside is good. So much good that oars will always germinate. Can you come together with oars for party?
Oh, it does say in here that Shatner was definitely Samuel Kirk, equipped with great hair and a mustache. This novel portrayal marks the only time in the series that Shatner appears to anyone other than Captain
Great.
Kirk.
Okay.
The way to Eden sounds familiar. I think that one was a solid one too. I can't remember which one that is now off the top of my head.
Something about Eden?
The Way to Eden.
The Way to Eden. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Is that a Star Trek episode, or are we talking about various
things? Season three.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember season three as much as season one and two.
I feel
the
like...
The Doomsday Machine. I want to see the new special effects on the Doomsday Machine.
Is that's the thing that eats, like, planets?
Yeah, that's the ice cream cone that eats
yeah,
planets.
Yeah, 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 the ice cream cone that eats planets. Oh, I can't wait for that, yeah. That thing shows up in the animated series.
Was the hippie group that hijacks the
Enterprise. Oh, okay, yep, yeah, there are hippies. Yeah, we didn't see the hippies, we didn't see the mobsters, we didn't see the Nazis.
Oh, the mobsters.
Yeah, the hippies that stand out to me, so.
Cool.
Yeah, these are the guys who I keep thinking are in, like, every episode when I keep talking about, like, whenever they're like, oh, 10 forward music fests, and I'm like, there's a group of people who dance and sing and stuff. These are the guys I'm thinking of. They're apparently season three, but they keep coming to mind, like, now.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Immunity syndrome. That's another one with the giant monster. A giant amoeba. It's another blob.
Oh, I don't remember a giant amoeba.
It's a space amoeba. It's like big enough to swallow the Enterprise, basically. They get stuck inside a giant space amoeba.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
I think it kind of reminded me a little bit of like. It's a story in the Bible with the guy who gets eaten by the whale.
Oh, Jonah, yeah.
Jonah, yes.
Yeah, the people, like, he's on a boat, and the dudes on the boat are like, we got to make a human sacrifice to calm the gods of the sea, which, like, you know, in the Bible, that's frowned upon. But they made everyone draw lots, and then they chucked Jonah into the sea where he was swallowed by a whale. That's fucking... I'm not sure what the moral is. I don't know if...
Don't get swallowed by whales.
Don't get swallowed by whales, yeah. Did God save him because...
Yeah, because he prayed to God.
Sacrifice... Oh, okay.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
If they're going to sacrifice you, pray to God real quick and he'll send a whale.
Yeah.
Comically enough, Sage and I found out a lot about old Johnny and the Whale because we're reading Moby Dick, and there's a whole huge chapter early on in that book, which is the story of Johnny and the Whale. It's much more complicated than we seem to be recalling here, but you can check out my other podcast, Maybe We'll Talk, where for season three, Saint and I are covering the Whale, aka Moby Dick. By Herman Melville, classic American. Anyway, yeah, that. Don't throw people in the ocean. I hope I never get eaten by a whale. I think he gets out.
Yeah, he does. He's fine.
The whale vomits him up.
He does not. He is not. He is not digested by the whale. He's fine.
One of my least favorite experiences is when a video game wants me to go inside of a whale.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's pretty terrible.
I hate having to be in a whale.
There's
always a labyrinth of guts inside the whale.
There's some cartoon I'm trying to remember that I'm...
Pinocchio?
Oh, it's Pinocchio. That's right, where they're inside the whale. I was
yeah,
like,
scary. Scary as fuck.
Formative scary image I had of like them being inside the whales.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now thinking about it, it doesn't make any sense. I was like, they shouldn't be able to see the whale's like ribs and stuff. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, why no. would. It's not just that whale's just fucking hollow.
Just hollow space with air in it for everybody to hang out in.
Full of air with ribs, yeah. tune into Maybe We'll Talk this week and hear me and Saint say basically that exact same stuff.
Yeah.
Being swallowed by something big would be pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's not the least realistic thing in a cartoon about an animated
wooden puppet.
Marionette, yeah. Wooden marionette.
So that was season one.
Yeah.
That was season one of TOS. Yeah, good job. Good job, guys.
All right.
Only like, 30 more seasons of things. Probably more than that. At least 21 in the 90s. 21 seasons? Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of seasons in the 90s.
And there's a lot right now, yeah, and there's a lot
out
there. Well into our old age.
Well, we had talked about it back in the day when we first started doing this. I did the math, and it would be if we did one episode every single week without fail and never missed one with what was out when we started, which is, I think, two or three seasons less than what's out now. Yep. It would be 17 years constant.
Yeah. And then you'd have to catch up on whatever came out in the 17 years.
Yeah. Which is going to be,
Yeah, so we've got at least three seasons so far, because, like, I think Picard Season 3 came out since we started. So as Strange New Worlds or Discovery had their most recent season come out since we started. And now Lower Decks has got their season going on, which Discovery has been solid. So it's been solid. This season of Lower Decks has been great so far. I really like it.
I'm not sure. I don't recall if we talked about ratings of this particular episode on Friday, but I think I said nine. I think I said nine on Friday.
All right, Sam, where are you at?
I don't remember. I'll give this one a 9 too. This is one of my favorite ones.
All right, I'm going to give it a solid 8. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good. I think there's definitely been better, but I find as well I tend to rate a little bit lower than you do in general, so.
Sure.
Yes, yeah. I tend to rate high.
I like Spock grunting and twitching.
Yeah.
It's got to hit really good for me to get a 9 or a 10. Like, it's got to hit just so, and it's hard to get that.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a special episode that are nines. I feel like it might start to decline, because I definitely feel like I've heard that season 3 declines in the budget that they had and the quality of the show.
I don't remember.
But I don't know.
I don't remember 3 very well. I don't think there was much of it that was good.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I honestly don't know if that's something I heard somewhere or if it's even true, or we'll find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of season 3 that I've never seen.
Interesting, yeah.
Because I know when my mother was collecting the VHS tapes back in the 80s or whatever, I think, you know, she was collecting them in order. She started getting them in order. So, by the time she got around to collecting, like, the third season, I don't remember if she ever actually got all of them. And I know we lost a bunch of tapes at some point when we were moving. A box of stuff got lost in one of our house moves at some point, and there was a bunch of tapes and books in there. Yeah.
Which happens.
Well, now we have the glory of the internet.
Now we'll never need to wonder where the Star Trek tapes are again.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you for watching TV, guys.
Yeah, thanks for being here and talking to me about this.
I'm gonna dip. I've got work today, and my boss wants me to come in early because I can't have my schedule posted the way that it's actually gonna happen, so.
Right, of course.
So I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna go get ready for work, and I will see you when I see you, Dave.
Well, anyway, Thrash, have you ever seen Operation Annihilate?
I don't believe I have.
It's got amoebas or something.
Yeah. It's got amoebas or something.
Yeah, it's got like little flying gummy dudes.
I think that they are individual cells of like a giant brain organism, but they communicate like, you know, across... you know, whatever the space is between them, and they function as like one mind.
You guys know Starro from DC?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
That's what it's like.
Okay.
Yeah.
This thing is almost like a nanite creature, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
It converges into one
organism
thing.
It's a hive-minded colony kind of organism flying through space and killing people.
Okay.
Yeah. Operation Annihilate.
Yeah, this was this. Well, I mean, I guess it wasn't really the season finale because I keep forgetting that there's like three different episode orders for this show. Yeah, that quality is probably not going to be doing too great.
They're going to have their primary import for the next 10 years is going to be psychiatrists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psychiatric drugs. Yeah, I know you love the blobs. I love the hive.
Blobs. Yeah. You love the hive mind?
Yeah. It's a giant sadistic brain flying through space, taking people over.
But it does need starships.
It does. It can't just fly through space on its own. Not like, you know, like Starro. For some reason, I thought that they could just through space.
Just float. I sort of thought that too. I thought it would be like a big brain, kind of floating through space, devouring planets as it went.
Yeah.
But it needs to. It needs to enslave the people and taunt them with terrible pain and make them build ships for it. Funny.
Yeah.
They ended on a good. If that was like how it was like aired. Then that was a good one to end.
Yeah,
off
it actually
on.
Was. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking like.
I'm sorry, really quick. But I was going to say, although I probably would have held like the cliffhanger of Spock getting his vision back until maybe like the next episode for the next season.
It's a little funny that they did that to make McCoy feel bad and make us be like, oh no, and then at the end, and then really, really nonchalantly at the end of the episode, oh well, Vulcans have special eyelids that protect
Vulcans. Vulcans, we have a really bright sun, so sometimes we have this thing in our eyes and we can just stare right at the sun and it's totally cool. You know, they're all like, wait, we didn't need to blind Spock. We just dumped him in there before we bothered to look at the results. And
the timing is so funny.
Yeah, Spock is like, oh no, it's cool. I was in so much pain.
Like, it's fine. This is fine. Yeah.
this is a good trade as far as I'm concerned. Like, it hurt so bad. I kind of want to get to. I'm kind of excited to get to DS9, to be perfectly honest, because like DS9 is always one of those shows that I heard so much about from everybody, and I only watched like little bits of pieces of it here and there. And
I always
wanted to have motivation to go back because it seems like it's probably like the most diverse cast.
Of the 90s, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
And it, boy, it's real different. I mean, it really is structured like a different kind of show. And especially towards the end, it gets very, not non-episodic, but very much that the episodes continue into each other, you know, like ongoing plot lines, which, you know, TNG obviously and TOS and, are very, very encapsulated episodic.
There were other 90s shows that I remember that I watched that did that too. Kind of similar to DS9, where they would have like two or three episodes that were episodic that had nothing to do with anything. They were kind of like Monster of the Week or
Plot of the Week.
Yeah, and then you'd have like three episodes in a row that were like solid plot, and you needed to watch one to the next. And then you'd have another episode that was like a break. Because you'd have like 24 episodes for the season, so you needed like some filler. Because if you just tried to do the plot by itself, you'd be done in like 12 episodes or something.
That's exactly what X-Files was like.
Yeah, X-Files was like that. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was like that. Hell, even shows that I think of from like the 2000s that I watched, which is like probably the last time that I watched much of That's very common. Yeah, Person of Interest. When I was watching Person of Interest, like that too. It was very episodic at first, and then it kind of split up into like this overarching plot / episodic, and then at the very end it was all just episode to episode plot.
Did that kind of have to do with a big evil artificial intelligence?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. That was into the 2000s, but that was a cool show.
Yeah. Person of Interest was like one of those shows that had like a lot of really good actors and like a really awful lead.
Was the lead the guy from Lost?
No, the lead was Jim Caviezel. Maybe he was in Lost. I don't know. He was the guy who played Jesus in The Passion.
Oh my, that's not the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah, apparently he's.
Were you thinking about Jack?
No, his name isn't Ben Linus. I don't think. Is it Ben Linus?
The bad guy. The real bad guy that like screwed over everybody at every turn. Yeah. Yeah, his name was Benjamin Linus, yeah.
Oh, that was
hell of a memory, dude. Yeah.
Well, he had two... Oh, he was something... He was Henry Gale at first, is what he... That's what I was thinking of.
But yeah.
Michael Emerson is the actor.
Oh yeah, Michael Emerson is a person of interest. Yeah, and he's the other main lead character who's the actual
good. I'm glad that he wasn't the bad one.
Is the actual good one that you care about. The other guy, Jim Cavazio, was playing like a sort of generic CIA exit man who had like a sort of lot of generic white man angst about killing people for the CIA.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, Michael Emerson's character had created a computer to fight terrorism.
Okay.
And he plugged in literally every surveillance camera in the United States into it, and more from around the world as much as he could get. So it was a huge, powerful super intelligence. And you know, it was a really interesting thing because it was like one of those shows where it was like one of those things where this thing predicts crime. It doesn't predict terrorism; it predicts crime. Mm. Terrorism is a political definition.
Okay.
So. We had to reprogram it after we first found it to predict crime to just kind of focus on these specific kinds of crimes. But he decided that he would still get the output of the regular crimes that it predicted, like Minority Report style. And he'd get this CIA ex-hitman to intervene in these situations for him to stop the crimes in advance. And it was sort of a generic kind, well, you know, aside from that little twist, it was kind of a generic, like, you know, like spy thriller spy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Until like the third season where all of a sudden there was a second godlike AI that had no restrictions or shackles on it because it had been created by a rival organization. And suddenly it was like, it was this crazy, like, post-human, transhuman, like, godlike AIs fighting for literal control of the world through human proxies.
Wow.
It was like this real kind of high concept kind of thing.
Like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, it was kind of Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Yep.
But it was good, and it had some good actors. Yeah, Michael Emerson, it had Taraji P. Henderson on it for a little while before her character got killed.
I like Michael Emerson. I'm gonna check that out. I'll put that on my radar.
It had what's her face? Amy Akers, something like that.
I don't remember.
She was good.
Okie dokie then. Thank you for hanging out with The Least Ready Room Season 1. That was it. Operation Annihilate. Hooray. Thank you, Thrash. Thrash ended up being on there. So, yeah, sub-talking about a person of interest with Thrash and Saint as a little bonus. And, yeah, we may have a couple more. I got a couple more things I got to talk to these guys, things we might watch and react to. But, yeah, Season 2 will be coming in 2025. Hope you had a good year, motherfuckers, because I didn't. Let's see what happens next year. It'll probably be terrible. Everyone loves a real optimistic guy, right? Everyone likes a misanthrope, right? Isn't that what they say? So anyway, there was a question of the week. It was, what is your favorite season of Star Trek, any series, and why? Because, you know, whatever, we just watched a season. What do people think? Pete says, the last season of TNG. It was all I could focus on at the time. Yeah, I liked it. I did say season 6 of DS9, but I mean, you got to give season, like, TNG really came together. It started out a little rough. We'll get there. Saint says, this is exactly what popped into my head, too. I think they broke space-time or blew up an alternate dimension or something every single episode of season 7. We'll find out. Something like that, yeah. Weebs says TNG season 4 because of Data's Day, which is great, and Remember Me. Also, some pivotal Klingon shit happens, and we see Cardassians for the first time, maybe. Which is also an episode with some good character development for O'Brien. Oh, yeah, it is. Also, Nth Degree, where Barclay becomes super genius. Yeah, very solid season. Yeah. Toronto, who is Chris, says the first season of Lower Decks, and History Buff, I guess, wanted to just, well, his answer is TNG, but he just wants to talk about TNG a little bit here. So he says, you know, for me, it always has been The Next Generation, just because I love how Picard seems to want to write his own rules of the book. not to mention that cue, as much as I despise the character, really as a character that is so complex that you can't help but wonder what he's going to try to do next. I feel like I didn't parse and pronounce and emphasize some of those words correctly. Let me try again. Not to mention that cue, as much as I despise the character, there should be a comma there, history buff. I mean, don't let me tell you how to write, but I mean, for as far as the way I'm parsing the sentence. Anyway, not to mention that Q, as much as I despise the character, really is a character that is so complex that you can't help but wonder what he's going to try to do next. And then, of course, you have the Borg, and it's so amazing that they're pretty much based off of, in my opinion, what we all can be like today, meaning that we're all attached to technology, which is what they essentially are. They're just technology in and of itself. It's fascinating. I mean, I can go into more detail about why I like TNG, but there's not enough time to eat and contemplate this stuff. History Buff is often eating large meals as opposed to give it. Anyway, thanks, History Buff. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to everyone on the Discord, everyone who answers these questions. You can hop on this Discord. You can get an invite at koidk.tv, where I have some other stuff, social media and stuff, but I got to update that and do some stuff. And yeah, man, I don't know how to use a computer or the internet anymore, but making podcasts is fun. So we'll keep doing it in 2025. Thanks for being here. And there's no question of the week because I don't know when this podcast is going to be on again. Soon, within weeks, within a month. It'll happen in January. It's like only halfway through December. I'm having holiday freakouts. I got to go do some errands, but I'm almost done. I got like all my holiday stuff, like all my shit is like done. I'm done. I got one more show today, and then we're closing the books on all that stuff. And I'm see you in 2025, motherfuckers.
Anyway, yeah, Operation Annihilate.
They annihilated that whole race of beings, that's for sure.
That was...
Kirk was like, fuck you guys. Yeah, if it was Picard, he might have been like, first, he would have done that thing like they do in Independence Day. It's like, can there be peace between us?
We can't just...
No peace! No peace!
Oh, and that was Brent Spiner.
Yeah. Fucking nuke.
Nuke
the bastards, and then Picard, and then Picard would have deployed the satellites to shine all like the infrared light on them.
Once they fucked up Data, and it would have been Data if it was Picard. Data would have been in pain somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
Mm-hmm. I've never experienced pain, but this is pain.
I would think it would be Worf, and Worf would be like, "Pain is
gone. That would be good.
Gone. Yeah. Pain only gets me going, baby."
He'd be fighting back like Spock, yeah.
Yeah, but like doing the opposite of Spock. Instead of being all like cold, he'd be all like all amped up. He'd be like, "It's like you call that pain?" Man, I can see Worf doing that. Like, you call that agony? I've had worse agony on my birthdays.
Agony,
running the gauntlet.
Misery, whoa.
This is like the agony stakes turned up to only like 3, man. Come on. Yeah, this race would not have survived if they'd reached Kronos.
Yeah. They would just make the Klingons bigger and madder.
Here is bright and smooth. The other place is hurt or too much tired for keeping together. Other place is frumple. Fours are here now, but almost not yet. Soon ores are really here. You are help ores with party. Ores looking for you and find you. So much joy. Now, smooth place all the time. And after now, never going back to outside. Never.